Welcome to season 8 of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. We are so excited to kick off this season with another one of our life updates. We do this at the beginning of every season, and it's pretty good and juicy. I'm four months now, almost 5 months postpartum. And so I share kind of what I've been struggling with and how it's been challenging navigating motherhood along with work and just how that whole season kind of goes, especially when it's not going as great as you would hope. And Morgan shares about her husband's new job and what they're doing navigating that, as well as childcare and things with her kids and sports and all of just the updates that we have. And it's kind of feels like you're just listening to our phone call because we're best friends and we talk like this outside of the podcast as well. So you get a window into our life. And yeah, let's get started with the kickoff of season 8. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Growing a baby? Healing postpartum? Making milk? Your body's mineral needs are off the chart during these times, and that's why Dr. Leah and I swear by Relight by Redmond, the real salt people, an electrolyte powder packed with USA mined unrefined sea salt and essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and potassium. Unlike many popular electrolyte companies, Redmond is the only company who is completely transparent about their sodium source because they own and operate the mine. It's clean, delicious, and the perfect thing for labor, breastfeeding, and thriving in mom life. So go ahead and grab a sample pack to try all of the flavors or hand your trust over to me and start with strawberry lemonade. Go to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off. Hydration handled.
Okay. Hi, friends. We are back with a new season, season 8, which sounds like a lot, but it's because our seasons are only like 15 episodes. I don't know. Other people must do other things because I feel like there's long-standing podcasts where they're like, we're on season 3. And I'm like, wait a minute. Haven't you guys been a thing for like 5 years?
I feel like, really? I don't know. I mean, each season, right? It's like 3 months. I feel like we've just been rocking it for a long time.
What are we going to do? We're going to be like, welcome to season like 32.
Well, maybe they consider a season like a whole year. I don't know.
I don't know. No. Or maybe the seasons don't really matter. It's just like episode numbers, which we're in the hundreds now, which is very exciting and fun.
That is exciting.
And we like to start off our new seasons with sort of a life update. And because we know that a lot of you guys are in our same phases. Well, we want you to know that we are in your phases and stages still as mothers who are not yet done completing our families, maybe, but also like working and raising kids and trying to be healthy and like all the things. So we just like to start out and have kind of like a personal note. So there's not as much medical stuff, but it helps, I think, because back in the day, you know, we would be sharing these kinds of stories all the time. And hopefully you guys all have mom friends that you can talk to about this kind of thing anyway. But in case you don't, or you just want to hear what's happening with us, then this is for you.
I feel like
a radio show.
Hello, tuning in on, I don't even know, I can't think of something off the top of my head. I'm not very good at it. I think of really cool things later, and then I'm like, oh, that would have been a really cool thing to say. That would have been so clever. I would have been really cool, and I never do it in the moment. I'm one of those. But Mike is so quick. My husband, he's so funny, and he's so quick. And it's like his brain already knew what you were going to say, and he was already ready.
Yep.
You know, every time he says, I'm like, how did your brain work that fast?
Mike is very quick. And Wes, so too, quick. Like, but not as quick. Mike is like a whole new breed. I've never met anybody like him.
I know. He's so funny. I mean, we've been together almost 18 years and he makes me laugh every day.
I know. That's crazy. Yeah. Wes will do these stupid things that I think are so funny. Like the other night, he's out of town right now, but the other night he leaned in to give me a kiss. I was reading my book, and he not actually that funny, but I love this kind of thing. Okay, so I'm like reading my book. I'm on the far edge of the bed. He leans in to give me a kiss. Good night. And then he rolls over, but he like to face away from me. But he's right up against my body, like completely in the middle of the bed, like if not already on my side. And I didn't quite notice like right away, you know, I'm like reading my book, whatever. And then my body kind of became aware of this like hard, huge, hot presence, like right up next to me. And I was like, time out. Does he think he's going to fall asleep like right here? Like, no, you need to. So I like shove his back. I'm like, excuse me, like move over. And he just like looks at me up over his shoulder and he's like, wait, what? You know, it's not going to sound funny, but I laughed so hard and he started laughing too, cause he was doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly the face that he made.
Oh my God. I love it. It's so funny. And, okay. One more, actually, I just have to say one more little story, which this is something that I think about, like, you know, when you have to smile for a photo and you want to have a good natural smile.
Yeah.
This is one of the funny things that I think about so that I can like actually laugh and have a good smile. This is going to go down in history as like one of the funniest things. I don't know why to me, but this is the kind of humor he has. It's a little different from Mike. Mike is like clever and his brain must be working so fast. And
all
like,
the time.
I don't know how he draws these connections so quickly. He's so witty. He's so dry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wes will just, I don't know how he thinks of the stuff that he does, but like, I just would never say the things that Wes says. So like, for instance, when Sunday was really, really little and she was super struggling with her laryngomalacia, which I totally should have done an episode about laryngomalacia when I was in the middle of it, because I get so many questions about it all the time. And I know that we did do a postpartum update episode where I talked about her symptoms and things, but like I don't remember a lot of the stuff now. And it's just like a bummer because it's like kind of poof gone out of my brain. Maybe I can gather some stuff up together. We can do an episode in the future. But anyway, he was sleeping upstairs in our guest bedroom. And I was just about to go to sleep. And we had some kind of pattern in the middle of the night at that point where like he would come down and get her at some point so that I could sleep or whatever. I forget all the details. But so I called him and I'm sitting in my bed and I called him and he answered the phone and I just started rattling off like, okay, so she ate it this time and then she's going to do this. And then probably I'll wait until this time. I have an alarm set for here. So then I'll do this. And I talked to her probably like a minute and a half. And then he just goes on the other side of the phone. He just goes, wait, who is this?
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Funny to me, like why would his brain, you know, you and I, we're just way too literal.
Oh my god,
we're married to these people who just like play on our innocence like all day long.
One time Mike calls me, I'm at work, I have my office and I'm trying to get stickers for tincture bottles, like labels, and he calls me, he's like, hey, I know you've been trying to figure out this label thing, I have a guy from this company on the other line, we're gonna do a three-way call and you can ask him the questions. And so I was like, great. And so I'm like, okay, I get on the call. And so there's this guy from India. It's like an Indian company. And he's like talking to me and I'm asking this Indian guy the question and he's answering my questions about the stickers and what they feel like. And, you know, and then Mike's chiming in and he's like asking him questions about like how it feels and everything. This goes on for like 10 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, honey, can you like settle up with him and like do the payment or whatever? Literally, it was Mike the whole time. He was both people. He's really good at accents, like so good, because I think he's so attentive to detail. And so he can pick up all the subtleties of accents. And I had no idea that it was him. It was him having a conversation with himself, with this Indian accent guy and me about these like labels. And I'm just like, that's the kind of things. I mean, but he's quick too and like so witty. And every time he gets pulled over by a cop, he like always gets out of a ticket because he's just so good at everything. I'm like,
I so wish that call was recorded. Like that makes me laugh so hard. See, like you and I would never, ever think to do something like that. Like
never. It just doesn't laugh. He's so good. Yes. Like sometimes I've always told him, I'm like, you could have a completely double life. And I would have no idea because you're so good, not at lying, because Mike doesn't lie to me. He's actually like the most honest person ever. And I never feel like jealousy because I never feel like he's like sneaking around, like nothing like that. But he is really good at like lying, like at fibbing, at teasing. Like he's theatrical. Like I always told him he should have been in theater because, you know, in a way, like people in theater and who in movies are lying. Like it's not real. It's not true. They're like put on this other persona.
Yeah.
He's very good at that.
But he also like, okay, after knowing him, when the first several years that I knew Mike, like I never knew if what he was saying was true or not ever.
I know.
Though I can tell, like he has this like glimmer in his eye. Like, you know, he's going to be that guy as like a grandpa that is just so so funny and just teases the kids like,
I know.
You know, to know
it. He tells me all the time. He says, you and Morgan are the only people who get my humor.
That makes me happy that I think
know. It's because you know him so well. I mean, you've known him almost as long as I have.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Weird. Yeah. Remember? Okay. Last story. And then we got, but do you remember when you got engaged?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know if that was clear what I just said. Sometimes you guys, we know that we talk over each other and listen, we try not to talk over each other, but it's hard. Okay. So just have some grace. Sometimes the only negative comments that we get or reviews on our podcast, like on our Apple podcast, is that we talk over each other, and I get it. And it is hard, and it's, but you know what? We're trying. We're just friends having a good conversation too. But so when Leah got engaged, you were like, what, 21?
Yeah.
20?
Probably.
Yeah. We were in college. So we were living in the same house together as roommates in Colorado. And she came like running in the back door and like screaming, was like, we're engaged. They had gone on this long hike and all these different things. And all of the rest of us, there was five girls in the house. So there's the four of us. We were all sitting on this couch watching a show or something. And we like jump up and we're screaming. Somebody was like, well, let's take a picture. Let's get a picture. And I thought that they were talking about getting a picture of Leah with all of us girls. So I like stand up and I like put my arm around you and I'm like ready to say cheese. And the other girls are like, no, a picture of Mike and Leah. Like they just got engaged. It was just so funny because my innocence popping through. But yeah, I guess you guys only had been together for like a year or two prior to that. Either way, whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's like
our
so funny.
Husbands are extremely funny and very dry humor. And it's just not something that I can create out of my own brain. But I laugh at them all the time. And he always said, he said that to me that night when he was like in the middle of the bed. He's like, Moses, glad you think my jokes are funny. He's like, even after like, you know, over 10 years, like you still think I'm funny. And he makes me laugh all day, every day. I just think the silly little, those kinds of little things are hilarious to me. I don't know.
Same. Anyway. And that kind of rolls into what we're talking about, which is life is hard right now.
Yeah,
for me at least.
Yeah, and you start because you've got a lot of stuff going on.
It's interesting because I feel like I tell Mike that a lot. We are in a really hard season for multiple reasons, being postpartum, but also business-wise for him and for me and, you know, having two kids and there's a lot going on and it's really hard. And sometimes I'm like, this is really gnarly and super intense. And at the same time, I'm still happy. And I think that I'm really grateful for that. And I think a lot of it is because of my relationship with Mike and that he does make me laugh and that it's like, even though it's really hard and it feels like things are like we're drowning a lot of times and just barely treading water, I'm really grateful that there are still moments like that where we have a lot of happiness. And I don't know. I just think that he's a big reason why it feels still okay. And maybe why I don't teeter on like depression. I don't know if I would ever be considered to have depression. I don't know if that's true, but I definitely have mood stuff, especially right now. I did in pregnancy for sure. And then right now postpartum, I'm just in like a weird, I don't know. It feels weird right now. I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, can I offer some ideas as to why? Okay, you have no childcare. You have two little kids. One of them's a baby and doesn't sleep.
I know.
And you have very high expectations and goals for your business, which you love and you love to provide and not provide like in a masculine sense, but like provide information and support for women.
Mm-hmm.
And you have so many big ideas. And I have also experienced this where it feels like a stop, start, like blue balls kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like for lack of a better term, but it's like, you know, you get like excited and you'll get this idea and you're like, I'm going to do this thing and then I want to do it. And da-da-da. But then it's really difficult because we don't have unlimited hours in the day anymore. And of course, we both want to be moms. We want to be with our kids. But it is not like without some – you're always sacrificing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it is – it wears on you and it's hard. And I have to say, though, too, that I think probably the biggest reason why you're maybe not doing as well as maybe you were after your postpartum with Avia is that Kate doesn't sleep.
Yeah, I know. That's – it's really been affecting me. And I'm not really sure why. And – you know, I think sometimes people look to us because we're naturopathic doctors and we do know a lot, and I do know a lot. I don't know that much about peds. I don't see kids. I never have. And it's really hard for me to know what's normal or, you know, what's wrong or is this, you know, I just like don't even know what's happening. And it's not that he's not sleeping at all. There, my problem personally is that, and I talk to my sister about this all the time because I see her sometimes for like therapy type sessions because she's so great. And I find that I am always comparing myself to others, almost not in like the, oh, I wish I had their life. It's more like, oh, well, everyone else's life is so bad. You know, it's like my baby's not up screaming all night. So therefore, I have no right to be sad that I'm not sleeping because he's just moaning. He's not screaming. He's not, you know, colicky or, you know, he breastfeeds okay. And I can like sit there and breastfeed him. And I just think about all of my patients or all the people that I know of that have it worse. And so then it's hard for me to give myself permission to feel like I'm okay to struggle or it's okay that I'm having a hard time because my brain immediately goes to, but it's really not that hard of a time because XYZ, this person has this much more harder situation. Mm. And that, I don't know where that comes from really. You know, I've always been more of an optimist. I've always been more of a glass half full kind of person. And it's a very easy exercise for someone to give me something and they'd be like, find the good in that. And I'd be like, oh, so easy. Like I could find like the good in so much. And so it actually makes it harder for me to admit when something is hard or struggling because I'm like, yeah, I'm not sleeping. But like I did get like 5 hours, you know, not straight, but spread out total. It's more than someone who was being tortured to death somewhere, you know, it's like, I don't know. It just feels hard for me to acknowledge that, but it's true that I just need to sleep. And it's really hard to not sleep
for so long too. It's not like, oh yeah, well there was a week or two where we were up a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like going on now, what, a month and a half or something where it's been extra bad.
Yeah. But then again, it's like, yeah, but like you had a baby with laryngomalacia. So I have nothing to complain about because at least I'm not worried he's not breathing, you know?
Oh my gosh, stop. No,
it's like, I know it's so bad, but yeah.
I do know what you mean though. Like it's hard for us to just sit in our own struggle and like validate ourselves that like, yeah, of course there's things that could be worse. It could be better though too. And right now, however it is, this feels really overwhelming and really hard. I deal with that on a monthly basis, like with my just monthly up and down emotions where I'm like, this day, objectively, if anyone was looking in on it, would be like, what's the problem with that day? But I feel internally like so angry and irritated at everyone and everything.
You need sepia so bad.
I know.
You're such a sepia.
I need to just take it.
Homeopathic sepia for people who don't know.
I really need to take it like every single day and I just don't. But you know what? I have been taking every day and I'm so proud of myself as just like a total random aside of starting new habits. It's so tricky to start a new thing, I feel like. But I have 2 different bottles of Thuja. So I have this plantar wart on my foot that I'm just bound and determined to get rid of with my own body instead of like doing all the things that I've done in the past with it. And so Thuja is a homeopathic that's great for warts. And I have taken it every day. So my naturopathic doctor that I've been starting to see said, take Thuja every day for a year. And I was like, oh, okay, that'll be easy, wink, wink. Like, yeah, great. So I knew myself, I was like, I have to put this out in the open everywhere so that I can see it and I'll take a dose once a day. And I've been really proud of myself. I think I'm going on 2 weeks, maybe even 3.
Yay.
Of every day. So we'll see if I can get to 52 weeks.
It's like, who does anything for a whole year?
I know. Great. But anyways, yeah. So I think your postpartum, it's tricky when you're a business owner and an entrepreneur because you don't really give yourself, or unless you're extremely organized. And you were so organized with the podcast, getting ahead of the game so that you didn't have to do episodes newly postpartum. Yeah. But I would say that you probably started, and I did this too with Sunday, started trying to get back to work stuff when he was like 4 or 5 weeks old.
Yeah.
And that would not have been the case had you had like a 9-to-5 job in a corporate setting. You would have had, well, I shouldn't say that. Depends on your company. But let's just say on the average, Americans get, whether it's paid or unpaid, it's about 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you've been working way more frequently than that. because you like it, because you want to, because there's financial need, of course. But I just have to add that on there in terms of validation of like the way you're feeling. It's just hard. And our brains don't work the same postpartum, and our lack of focus, and then also motivation, and like all these things just really shift and change. And so for those of you listening that are working moms, especially the stay-at-home working moms with no childcare, like it is, it's a circus.
Yeah. And I finally had a breakdown and was like, we have to hire help. And I've been trying. I mean, I tried to find people back in the fall when I was still pregnant, because I knew this problem would be coming down the pipeline, and it just wasn't as fruitful as I had hoped it would have been. And I got to a place where I said, we have to do this. We both work from home, which is really amazing, and we're so blessed to have that. And there are big challenges with that as well. Trying to popcorn everything around, not having designated time for work hours, feeling like, oh my gosh, I have a podcast, like take the baby. Oh my gosh, I have a meeting at the same time. Ah, like what do we do? This is so stressful. And we try to coordinate our calendars, and it's just really hard because my husband doesn't have as much control over his schedule. And then I have things booked way ahead of time, you know, patient appointments, podcast appointments, all of that. And like I said, some people have to like leave. I think there's a blessing and a curse to leaving. I think some people for work-wise feel energetically like it's easier when they like leave the home and are in a place of, I am here to work. I am not in mom mode right now. And then they come home and they don't have to work. There is no work at home, so they can be in mom mode. But then you don't get to be with your kids all the time. So there's pros and cons to both. And I think for me, it just energetically feels draining when I feel like I'm constantly doing both at the same time and doing neither at the same time, you know?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. You're doing it all and then also not doing anything and not getting anything accomplished. And it's like, okay, imagine if, and I, you know, there's obviously truth to this. I don't know how concrete in terms of like a physical sense what I'm about to say is maybe true, but you know, like the duality between masculine and feminine energies, right? Okay. And so if we're pretending that they are polar opposite ends of the spectrum, like the furthest masculine, the furthest feminine, the furthest yin, the furthest yang, if we wanted to think about it that way, then being like right in the middle is almost like not a possibility. It's like magnetic flipping back and forth, like trying to be in the middle of, because if mothering is yin and feminine and then work is masculine and yang, but we're doing both, yeah, we're not doing either well at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're just in the mud. Right. It's not water. It's not dirt. It's mud. Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
And it's hard. I know. And then you throw, you know, not sleeping, having kids, like right now we're at my parents in Colorado. It's amazing. It's so beautiful. They just built onto their house. So we're staying in a part of the house that's new. And there are toxins that come with new materials, right? This is a big thing that we talk about with toxin avoidance is, you know, if you have brand new vinyl flooring and brand new paint and brand new, you know, furniture and brand new, all this stuff, it comes with toxins that have to off gas. And unfortunately, there just wasn't as much time for that. So we've been basking more in toxins than normal. And I do see the behavioral issues in my daughter. She's just been so odd and not her normal self, you know, having outbursts and having behavioral stuff and so emotional and just, you know, can't handle anything. And for anyone listening who has a child like that, like definitely when we're being exposed to toxins, molds, like anything that's inflaming the brain, it can cause these behavioral issues. It's not always that they're just being naughty. It's not always just because they're a toddler. You know, I always think blood sugar and toxin exposure, like the two places that I go. And so that's been challenging. And then my husband's been away working in California. So I'm with both kids trying to, you know, sleep with my daughter, sleep with my son, try to figure out him not sleeping. I'm not sleeping at all. You know, just the whole thing is challenging. And then also trying to work. And some people have told me that they say you're postpartum, like don't work. And I would love to not. It's hard when you have a business and you're an entrepreneur because you can't just step away from it completely. Even if I wanted to, there are still bills that have to be paid. There are still things that have to at least maintain. it's nice because I have the flexibility because I can work when I want, but it also isn't like I can just pack up and leave and quit and be like, see you later. You know, I don't want to work here anymore. I'm taking postpartum. I could do that, but I would just, everything I've worked for would just crumble and it would be all for naught. And that is really hard too. So it's a tough season for anyone who's going through that. And for me, if anyone listened to our last update, I was in a much better place immediately postpartum. And I think I'm just like opposite other people. A lot of people are great in pregnancy, really hard immediate bliss postpartum. And I'm the opposite. I'm really bad in pregnancy. I'm great immediate postpartum. Maybe it's oxytocin that makes me feel so good. I don't know. And now, you know, 3-4 months out when he started teething, which was also early, when his sleep stopped, he had another fever, he had a sleep regression. I don't know. I'm just not as thriving as I have been.
Well, let me normalize that for you because it is a pattern that I see. Like for the women like you who love early postpartum, the newborn days, they tend to have a crash and burn moment at 3 to 4 months. Mm. And I don't know. And I see this all the time. Or there's the people like me who hate the whole thing until like 6 months. Okay. So it wasn't that I hate it. You know, I just struggle a lot. But yeah, if I could just be handed a 6 month old, I would have like 10 kids. But
yeah, that's great. I love the newborn, but I'm losing my hair too. So and Mike said that the other day. He's like, there's got to be hormonal shifts happening because I have gobs and gobs of hair coming out, you know?
Yep, exactly. And so I would love to know if there's like any research around this. I should try to dive in. It's just like, how do you explain that, you know? But it does seem to be a pattern like that, where around 3 to 4 months can be a peak difficulty. And for postpartum depression and anxiety, just so everyone knows, I think there's like a misunderstanding that it's something that happens immediately after the baby's born or like within that first week or something, but it actually tends to peak around 3-4 months.
Oh, interesting.
But it can be at any point in that first year would be like considered, and as if like, you know, 12 months rolls around and like, now you don't have it. It's just considered regular depression. It's like, well, no, it's probably still from a postpartum related thing, but maybe not. Either way, it's something to be aware of because yes, there is all these hormone things happening as we re-regulate, but then also, like you mentioned, the sort of oxytocin initial immediate lovey bubble of having a new baby is started to drain out, weighing out. And also our bodies can do pretty well with lack of sleep or no sleep for a while. And then though there's like a tipping point where you just can't live forever. And so sometimes there's a component of that where people are like, okay, it's getting like too many weeks, too many months now of really, really bad broken sleep, and it can catch up with us. Additionally, though, I will also say that the thyroid, initially in the very beginning of the postpartum, it's such a dynamic time period that even if you have thyroid stuff in the past or you're managed on medication, it's not really all that helpful to test and watch lab work until like 6 weeks postpartum. And then maybe like every month, if we're having some kind of shift, we're wanting to make sure we're properly medicated. And then for a lot of women around that 3-mark month, again, I think there's lots of complex layers of hormonal loops happening. That's when it'll kind of like, quote unquote, like stabilize more for what it's going to look like, but you still need to watch it and track it. But I guess I just say that as further evidence and proof to the idea that there is a 3-month sort of cyclical season of change. It's happening in that initial period. And many women, you know, don't feel the best. And then what also happens that is really rude is in a corporate setting, you typically go back to work, not corporate necessarily, but you know what I mean? Work away from the home. You typically go back at that point, and then people are pumping. And there is a hormonal shift that's happening where your breasts aren't as full around 3 months. It happens again at 6 months. And so people will think they've lost their milk supply. And it's so common. It's so, so, so common. And then when babies are waking up more at 4 months because of the 4-month sleep regression, they're thinking, oh my God, they're hungry. They're not getting enough milk from me. I didn't get very much when I pumped today. I have no milk supply. And it's so common, this exact pattern and cyclical thing that so many women go through. And it is a misunderstanding of physiology mixed with these hormonal things. Mm-hmm. Also, just so many women don't even know the idea that like, some people don't respond well to a pump, or you have to like do a lot of other things. You have to like massage in order to get the same amount. And like a baby will usually always be able to get more than the pump. So like, even if your output is less, like when you're nursing your baby and you're with them, it's probably going to be okay. But then also them waking up at night does not mean that they're always super hungry. You can nurse them if you want to, but like, don't let that make you think they're starving. I must give them a bottle now in the middle of the night. Oh, now I give them a bottle and now they're sleeping. It's like, okay, but that it's correlation, not causation kind of a thing. And so anyway, yeah. Just for those who are pregnant, put this in your back pocket of like something you've heard of. And if you're experiencing this right now, postpartum, get help with an IBCLC because you don't, there's so many women who stop breastfeeding around that time when everything is actually fine, but they just needed some advice.
It is no secret that most women are not getting adequate protein in their daily diets. Protein is essential for all major body functions, including hormone production to maintain a healthy, regular menstrual cycle. And the need for protein only increases during pregnancy, postpartum recovery, and nursing. When it comes to collagen supplements, it can be overwhelming to choose the right one, but let me make it easy for you. The Needed Collagen Powder is my top recommendation for a high-quality, easy-to-mix supplement that supports your body in so many ways. Each serving provides 15 grams of collagen, delivering 8 of the 9 essential amino acids that your body needs. Collagen plays a crucial role in tissue repair and strength, thanks to the key amino acids like glycine and proline. It's important in supporting natural collagen production, which can decline due to hormonal changes in pregnancy. It promotes joint health and comfort during pregnancy, aids the postpartum tissue recovery process, and it supports healthy hair, skin, and nails. The Needed Collagen Powder is grass-fed, sustainably sourced, and rigorously third-party tested for heavy metals and completely tasteless, making it easy to mix into coffee, oatmeal, or smoothies. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off. Again, that is thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off.
Yeah, I love that. And I did already get my period because when Cade was teething, he didn't want to nurse very much. And he just went a couple very long stretches, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's why. But I've had a period already. So now I'm in this weird, who knows where my hormones are. And I'm going to do a blood panel and check my thyroid and all of that because I'm also just, it's so hard. I get why women, especially with thyroid stuff, are confused. Especially postpartum, because you're not sleeping. So you're like, well, I'm tired. Well, it's because I'm not sleeping. But is it that, or is it thyroid? And about a bunch of things can go wonky postpartum hormonally, and then you're having a cycle, and it's all sorts of stuff. So yeah, that to say, I'll wrap up my update soon, but I am excited. I mean, Cade is so cute. He's the cutest thing in the whole world. And I'm obsessed with him, and a lot of him waking up in the night is something's wrong with his tummy, but he has been on antibiotics, which is so sad because he had a UTI, and I don't know if it's that or if it's something I'm eating. I've pulled out gluten from my diet and dairy as well. I hadn't pulled out butter, but I'm probably going to do that because something's really bothering him, and he just arches his back and he just seems so uncomfortable and gassy, and it's not a latch thing at this point. There's something else going on. And so I'm trying to figure that out. And he just, I don't know. It's also tough when I'm sleeping here with my daughter and my son. I know a lot of people co-sleep and they have their whole family in the bed. I don't know how. I don't know how. Kudos to you. That's amazing if that's what you do and that's what you choose. But I've been having that experience here and no one sleeps. You know, he wakes up, he's awake. Then my daughter wakes up because he woke her up. Now I'm awake the whole night. No one's sleeping. Everyone's upset. Everyone's in a bad place. For us, it's just not the best to have everyone in the same bed. And I just don't know. Maybe other people have deeper sleepers. I don't know. It's just not working for our family. So once we go back home, I'm excited to get back into a routine and have childcare support and have more focus time to have work. And so that when I'm not in that focus time of work, then I will have my undivided attention on my kids. Instead of here I am sometime in my life, I'm here with you, but I'm also trying to get work done. And it's just like, I don't want that. So we found this amazing nanny who's also a paleo food prep person and a personal trainer, and she lives in our neighborhood, and I'm so excited about her. So if you're listening to this episode, I can't wait for you to start and help us. And that's kind of the wrap up here, hopefully. And then, yeah, I have a really exciting project work-wise that I've been working on, which is going to be more of a membership type model around women's health, especially in the seasons before getting pregnant, but can apply to anyone at any time around hormones, sex, and fertility. So it's just been slower than I imagined. It was supposed to launch in May, and it's almost May. It's not coming then. So we'll see, but I'm excited to share more about that coming out soon.
I'm excited about that too. And
we're both so flummy. We must have post-nasal I know. Trip.
I feel like there's yet another, well, they're all, everything's blooming here in Idaho. I don't know if it is in Colorado, but I feel like there's a, sort of another round of coughs going around. I'm just like, stay away from me and my kids. I wanted to ask you, did you try the simethicone?
I did.
Yeah. No change?
I think it helped a little bit.
Okay.
But he's still not sleeping like he was before he was teething. And at this point, okay. I don't know if it's habit. And it's tricky because when he wakes up, I offer him the boob because I don't want him to wake up my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't let him cry. That's what I'm saying about how do people sleep, you know?
Oh, well, what I was going to say about that is because I've had the same thoughts before. Like even if my six-year-old has like a nightmare or something like that and she wants to crawl into the bed with us, she kicks us like literally all night long.
Oh, yeah.
And so does too. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm just like, is this what I think happens? Because neither of us are co-sleepers. Mm-hmm. So what I think happens is that when people make the decision to co-sleep and they start when they're like infants and then they – are doing it from that point on, they're used to their brain. There must have been an adaptation in their body where they stop waking up to all of those little motions and movements constantly, because otherwise it would make like no sense.
There or maybe, no way. Maybe they're just the people that don't wake up to those, because I've always been a light sleeper. I have yeah. always woken up to every little sound, every little movement. So every little movement of my kid's hand, my son's, I'm awake. There, he moves his hand. Oh, I'm awake. Oh, now she flipped over. I'm awake. Like, oh. I can't, you know, and I've been like that my whole life. So I think I can't co-sleep because I can't drown it out. So maybe the people that have success with that aren't as sensitive and they can sleep through it. I don't know.
I think it must be that way because the way that they talk about it is like, it's a no-brainer. Like, and they get great sleep and they're like,
oh my gosh,
no. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep without it. And you and I are sitting here like, huh?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. And because I've done it, I'm like, here we are doing it. And this is the worst sleep I've ever had in my whole life.
Oh my gosh.
It's so sad. I know.
I mean, I agree. I don't sleep well when with other people in the bed either.
Yeah.
So anyways, okay. Anyways,
well, so what's going on with you?
Oh, okay. Well, so my husband got a new job. That's kind of the big thing is that Wes got a new job. He used to be home working all the time. He still will be home some, but he will be out a lot as well. And he, ever since I met him, he's had a job where a lot of it was from home. But before COVID, there was still like in the daytime, he was spending several hours out going to doctor's offices. He sells throughout the whole time that we've been together. He's always worked a position where he's selling some kind of medical device, like medical supplies, medical device of some kind. And he gets really good at managing it so that he's very available all the time. And he's like with the kids or he's working from the table and like helping with the homeschooling, or he's just there to field their questions, or he makes us breakfast and then he goes and he takes a call, or like, I don't know how he does it. It seems very stressful to me the way that he does it, because he's able to sort of focus, turn on his brain, send a couple emails, make some orders, whatever, take a call, and then flip right back into dad mode and not need to maybe because like what you and I are doing is like content creation and it's medical. It takes so much more focus or something. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I admire his ability to do this and manage it.
Mike's the same.
Yeah. And he's also just so like laissez-faire about it. He's like, what? He's like, it's easy. I'm like, oh yeah, is it? Okay. Well, it's not easy for me. But now the job that he got, he will be – so, okay, so after COVID, he was at home 100% because they couldn't have all these reps going into the medical offices and, you know, going from a urgent care to a chemotherapy unit and spreading COVID or any germs of any kind, right? So then it became completely remote even after he got – After he had like a different job shift and change, basically for like the last 5 years, mm-hmm. he's been home almost completely. And so, you know, that's like where two of our kids were born, and one of our second daughter was only 1 year old when that happened. So like for pretty much the majority of our time of having children, we've been like 50-50, it feels like. I mean, not really. It's like 60-70% on me and then whatever for him, but still like it's been so much. And so then when I've been building my business now in the last couple of years, I've been able to, because I can be like, hey, can you chunk out like this time to this time on that day so I can work on this thing? And he'll be like, sure, great. And then he'll kind of just manage his work on the side while he's watching the kids and whatever. And like you were mentioning too about Mike's job, like I still have to defer all of my work to his schedule. So like I'm secondary. And I mean, it makes more, so much more sense. Like financially, obviously he's the provider, but it does get tiring though. And I explained that to him. I'm like, look, I'm not asking for this to change because I know it can't. I just want you to validate and like see that I am constantly having to rearrange my schedule to defer to your like random appointments that I'll never, I won't know about until the day of. And it's annoying, but he can't do that much about it because they'll just throw meetings on his schedule or whatever, you know? Anyway, so, but now he has a job where he will be out and about a lot more often, at least in these first months while he's trying to figure it out, but then continued. And so similarly to you, I'm like, okay, like I got to figure this out now. Like, what is my schedule going to be like? What is my life going to be like? And, you know, summer is coming up. And so my two older kids won't be in the school that they're in and for the next couple months. And so finding childcare is a top priority to me as well. But our amazing, sweet, like college nanny who lives literally a stone's throw away is actually heading home for the summer. She just told me last week.
Summer home for the summer.
Great. We call her, Wes calls her predominantly now Summer from college. That's what he calls her. That is her nickname. And she, or sophomore summer, but now she's going to be a junior, so we can't call her that anymore.
Summer,
but either way, she's the absolute best. And I feel like she's like a little sister or something like that to me, which I never had. And so it's really sweet to have this relationship. And so she's going to be a huge pivotal piece to the summertime for sure for us. But anyway, basically like my big main update is just that that's been a new thing and it's been a huge blessing because the other company he worked for, sort of the writing was on the wall that like maybe it's, I don't, it just didn't feel as job security stable. Like there was a lot of, it, I don't know. It was just one of those companies where like they're not making a lot of new innovations. They're not really keeping up on what's happening in the market and companies that don't keep up don't make it, you know? Right. And he didn't want to like randomly get let go one time because they're having budget cuts, you know? So he was just trying to be proactive about it, even though it was going to change the way that we live a lot. So eventually he will start his sewer temp fence porta potty company that is his main dream.
Serious?
He wants porta potties. He has to get a big truck to pump septic. So he wants to pump septic tanks, which is yuck, but whatever. And then they also can pump porta potties. So people will have some porta potties out because it's like they just sit at these job sites for months. Yeah, same thing with the temporary fencing.
Like what makes someone want that to be their
job? I think he just sees it as being like such a no-brainer. And then in the valley here, like the amount of construction, he's just kind of like, this would be a great gig. And also these people who have these big trucks that can pump septic, they can pump like grease traps in restaurants, which I did not know is a whole thing, but they have to get them pumped like once a month or some sort of a frequency. And it's a coded thing. You must do it. So every restaurant you've ever seen has to have on contract some kind of truck that comes by and pumps out all their grease. I mean, that's his project. He's so funny. He talks about it the two things that Wes talks about to me all the time, like at night, the kids go to bed and I read my book and he sits on his phone and he's researching either old buildings or like temp fence. I don't even know. Like just he's Love so it. Funny and he'll run the numbers and he's like, Moses, if we get this and we do that and then this happens, he's like, this, we could just be making this much money of like these parts and pieces like sitting on job sites, you know, and it is smart, but there's like a lot that goes into it too. Like we have to invest in the truck and the trailer and the rah, rah, rah. But anyway,
yeah.
So that's probably my big main update. And then also with like my 6-week pregnancy call, I'm going to be rebranding it.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. I'm really excited about that because I have realized it has dawned on me how confusing the name is. And I understand it's because when I first initially made the program, it was live. It was taught live. So it was 6 weeks long. Then I realized that was absolutely draining and crazy and heinous to try to teach it live. So then I did all the pre-recordings and then I would just show up on the Q&A calls and then just like field questions, which is so much fun and it builds so much community. But I kept the name. But then I had somebody point out to me the other day that they thought that what I meant was that you have to be 6 weeks pregnant in order to take it.
Oh my God. I would have never thought that, but I could see how someone would think that.
I know. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay, 6 week pregnant call.
Yes.
Yes.
And
oh,
I
know.
I thought the confusion was mostly, and it probably is still mostly in the realm of that people think they're only going to get it for 6 weeks. It's only 6 weeks long, then it's gone, which is not the case. You get to watch the recordings for all of time. It's just that we meet for 6 weeks of Q&A questions because I have it broken into six modules. But then with that added layer, I was like, you know what? As much as it's going to be so much work for me to rebrand, I have a lot of lessons I want to add to it and make it more robust. And so anyway, I'm going to do that. And then I'm also now adding on to this idea of, it's kind of like a membership, but not really. But I mean, well, it is, I guess, because there's a recurrent. But for the postpartum women, I already have this group who I call the pregnancy call graduates. Mm-hmm. And it's a small group right now, but it's women who have taken my 6 week pregnancy call who want to have continued support. And so it's a monthly thing where we meet for a once a month Q&A call. And then they also have this private Telegram group chat. And it's really sweet. And it's been so much fun. It's been so fulfilling to hop on these calls and like see familiar faces. And now a lot of them have their babies or if they were trying to conceive, now they're pregnant, they're like going to give birth. And the questions are all over the place. Sometimes they're about trying to conceive. Sometimes they're about pregnancy. Sometimes they're about four month olds or, you know, giving their older baby solids because there's women who've been in it now for a while. And it's been really fun. And it's made me realize that I think I need to grow something bigger and expand it and offer it to people who maybe haven't taken the 6 week pregnant. Because right now it's exclusive to those who have. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to make something that is like, if you are, because I get a lot, every time I launch the 6 week pregnancy call, I get a lot of messages from people being like, I'm due like in 2 weeks. Do you have anything for me? Or like, what about your postpartum supports? And I'm like, oh, no, I really don't have anything for you actually, which is silly because that is a huge passion of mine is helping the people who already have the babies because that's when you have so many questions. So what I'm going to do is keep like the same structure where it's a monthly Q&A call and the group chat, but I'm also going to have they will have access to other lessons that are related to all of that stuff. Like specifically, let's just say that there's like a breastfeeding section. And so it's like cluster feeding and about sleep, like wake windows and where can baby sleep and what kind of clothes do they wear? And what's the difference between a swaddle and a this and then that thing and da-da-da-da-da. Like just these kinds of questions that I get all the time about different things. And I'll have like larger workshops. And so then when they log on to my website, they'll have like option, you know, they'll be able to see all this other content that's more related to them as people who already have their babies. It won't be all the prep work. It'll be like continued support for these people who they can come on and be like, okay, my 4 week old has mucusy poop. Like, what do I do now? And so then we can talk about it. And it'll change and shift and grow, I'm sure, as time goes on, because that's how all of this is. It's just like trial and error. But I'm excited about the potential of it. And it really helps to fill like a gap that I haven't been sure how to fill, which is like supporting postpartum women more.
I love that.
So, but like you said, I'm feeling like I'm in that stop start right now too, where I have so much work to do. I have to rebrand all of my slides. I have to re-record everything. I'm changing things. I'm updating it. I'm adding stuff too. So like, I really want to re-record. I also recorded all of the lessons when I was 6 weeks postpartum with Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
I don't really know how I did that. I do remember it being very stressful, but I feel like I can just be a lot more engaging than I have been. And so anyone who's taken the 6 week pregnancy call in the past, you're going to just roll over into this new program and be able to get access to all of it. So don't worry. You're not like missing out on anything. You're just getting to ride along on the update, which will be nice for you. But yeah, so I'm like, this is hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours that I don't have. And I need to figure out how to get it, you know? So once summer comes, like the season, and then summer my nanny can come and be here, it'll be great. But yeah, it's just so much like, I'm really happy that you're in this with me because I don't really know that many other women who are doing what we're doing with trying to start our own businesses. It's hard. It's
and
like
it's
a
creative work. Like it's one thing to, I don't know. I'm not like downplaying anyone else's work because I really don't know what it's like to be other people's work. And maybe other people's work is harder where they're maybe being told what to do or dictated or like, hey, this is this like thing that you have to do. These are your tasks for the day or whatever. It's really cool to be a creative entrepreneur where you're inventing it, you know, and creating it as you go. That's really fun. That really fills a part of both of us. We're very similar in that way. It also brings with it its own stuff. Like I go to sit down, you know, I have, okay, you have 1 hour. Mike will be like, you have 1 hour to work. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what, what do I do? You know, do I answer emails? Do I come up with a post on Instagram? Do I look at my books? Do I get back to my bookkeeper? Do I create the new slides for the new course I'm creating? Do I, you know, work on my membership? Do I dictate that to my assistant? Do I see a patient? Do I mean, what? Like I have 1 hour and then I'm just panicking the whole time. And then 45 minutes goes by and then I get like one thing done and it's like, wow, that didn't do anything. You know? And I've done the whole like hire like lots more assistants and it, you know, then you need more capital, you need more income, then you have to work more. It's just, it's a tricky, it's really cool. I love it. I wouldn't want it any other way. And it brings a unique thing that maybe isn't as understood by people who aren't in that space. And my husband's also an entrepreneur. The one thing that is cool about Wes is like, he gets a steady paycheck. He has like a normal job. Mike does not have that either. We are both creative entrepreneur consultant types. And he also has a startup tech company that we've self-funded. So we're just in a really weird season. And it would, you know, hopefully soon we'll be in a different season where we'll have more consistent income. And that's a big reason why we haven't had childcare, because it's just hard, you know, when you're on commission based or you're on consultant type based work and it's like feast or famine and you're just kind of, and then I don't know, it's just been a weird time in that department, but I'm excited for both of us. So hopefully, and I don't know when your thing will be ready. Mine was supposed to be ready in May, probably now summer, probably more fall. I don't know. I'm going to do a beta launch for anyone listening who's interested, because my membership is going to be around hormones, libido and sex and fertility. I already have a lot of the content created, but it's going to be more of a community-based thing. And so if that's interesting at all to you guys, I will be putting out something soon asking for some beta people to come experience it and give me feedback before I launch it in a big way to everybody. But cool. We're both going to have like two really cool offerings. I'm going to be a part of yours. I can't wait to ask about my baby's mucus use stool.
Which I'll be part of yours. I'm maybe for the first time having like hormonal stuff. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I am. Oh. I don't know. Maybe it's weaning. I can't tell what's happening, but I'll join yours and I'll come in there and pop around. No dates set for me because I'm trying to be so much better with myself about my expectations, because that is a huge source of disappointment for me sometimes, is like putting dates on stuff and then being like, how on earth? Like, okay, for instance, really quick, because I know we need to go, but Wes texts me on Friday this week. Gage has baseball tryouts for a league that starts the very beginning of May. I'm sure that there's practices in the week that didn't even make it onto this schedule. Every single weekend from the very first weekend of May to the middle of July, they are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day.
No.
All day.
What?
Literally three games a day. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Wes. Do we really want to do that? And he's like, yeah, you got to take him to the tryouts on Friday. And I'm like, I don't know if I even want him to do that though. Like,
okay. Can I just like have a side thing about this? And people listening are probably like, you are so out of touch and you don't know anything, but I just feel like that's so much time for a child to be doing anything.
I know.
I mean, like, why? Why? What about like camping? What about like having a summer? Maybe kids love their sports so much that they're like, all I want to do is play that all day long. But I know when I played volleyball, I remember thinking, I'm wasting my entire childhood living in a gymnasium.
Wow. You remember having those thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Because I wanted to do other things. I loved volleyball, but I wasn't like, this is my life and I want to be in a gym at a different place. Because I played club and it's like, I don't want to spend my whole teenage years in a gym. Like, I want to go skiing. I want to go swimming. I want to do other things.
Yeah. See, that's interesting. I also was on a club volleyball team. I don't remember having those thoughts, but maybe I did.
Maybe because you liked it better. I don't know.
I did like it. I don't know. I just kind of was there, I guess, along for the ride. I don't remember. But with him, I'm like, yeah, so that's what I told him. I was texting with Wes and I'm like, okay, this means no McCall. This means no, like, well, the thing too that the coach is asking, which is fair, he's like, you please like make sure that you're committed to this, because we had some situations last year where like three or four kids were out on one particular weekend and it put a huge stressor on the other kids. They were exhausted. Right. Like they can't, you know, you need to be able to commit to it. And so it's like, yeah. It's an all-stars team. So it is for like the best of the bet. He does have to try out. He may not even make it, mm-hmm. but I'm like, yeah, where are we with mm-hmm. this? Like, do we, okay. We also have a homestead to be taken care of, which mm-hmm. if Wes now has this job where he's working all week, weekends are kind of like where we mow and we pick uh-huh. weeds and we take care of things. And like, are we getting cows? Are we not getting cows? We're already kind of late in the season, but like we still could do it, but we have to set up the electric fence and the troughs and the hoses and all the stuff. We have a lot of work to do. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know. And I want to, it's difficult because this is sort of the culture now with kids and sports. Like,
yeah.
Wes and his brother, who we live here on the property with, were like the most sports-driven athletic boys. They played sports every moment of every day that they could, like in the streets, you know what I mean? But Wes always tells me, our son is in third grade right now. He's like, I didn't even start playing baseball on any kind of like coach pitch league until I was in third grade. That was my first experience. And Gage has already been, our son who's in third grade right now, has already been on, this is like his third year of playing mm-hmm. baseball. And it's like, this is just the way the culture is now. Like so many of his friends are on these club teams that are year round and they travel right. and they do all this stuff. And it's like, if you're going to keep up or if you want your kid to be like in a competitive mm-hmm. situation, I don't know, it's tricky, but we're definitely not pushing him. That's for sure. If anything, he wants to do it, but we're sort of like, I don't know if I want to do it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Cause it's same with cheer. It's same with dance. It's same with,
yeah,
it's not even just like traditional sports. I just feel like the culture of our kids is absolute exhaustion. Like, let's go do this thing. And if you don't, you can't play. High school, it's like, if you don't play club volleyball, you're not going to play in our high school team.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to, I just want to play for fun in high school. Like, why do it? Cause you know, and then I remember one time my family tried to go on a ski trip. It was a practice scrimmage. And my coach said, if you leave, you're not playing at all this year. And so I couldn't go on a ski trip with my family. And that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, those are the kind of things that it's like, but I think in hindsight, I would have, my memory as a person would have looked back on that ski trip with more fondness than, wow, I'm so glad I stayed during Labor Day for the volleyball scrimmage. You know? And yeah. I just like, I don't know, I have resentment about it. So it's sad that we expect that of our children, I think, to be so competitive.
Well, and I want to get him into like maybe some other things or like try some different stuff. And like you said, yeah, it's difficult to manage because it's happening in real time. It's not like I have that much time to ask around, figure it out. And it's like, okay, I don't know. Is there like another league we can do that's not every single weekend?
One game a week maybe, and that.
Yeah, which is in. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. We're trying to figure that out. I'm sure that you guys who have multiple kids are in different, and that's what like, you know, my mother-in-law and like my brother-in-law, they're like, just get used to it. You have four kids. Like, this is the way that it is. It's like sports. And we are not one of those families that has our kids overscheduled, I don't think, mm-hmm. in any regard. Gage plays baseball. That's what he does. The girls are in a like 6-week soccer league. Otherwise in the week, they're in the year, there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't have them, but baseball in and of itself, I just had no clue the baseball culture. Mm-hmm. I didn't play baseball. I had no idea. And I thought that Gage was actually going to probably gear more towards like basketball for some reason. I just, because of Wes's passions and stuff, I thought that would be his thing, but he is really good at baseball. He's really good at pitching and he loves it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, like, are we doing this thing? I don't know, you know,
no.
trying to follow. And I want to support him, but I'm also like, bro, I cannot be at a field on Saturday for 9 hours with an 18-month-old. Like, I will mm-hmm. not be there for every game. And that makes me feel bad because I know he wants me there for every game. And it's like, well, someone can't be when you're mm-hmm. the oldest of four. Like, there's yeah. other things happening. So anyways, I digress. Welcome to season 8.
Okay. Woo, it's going to be a fun time. Hopefully I'll like sleep more and have a better energy and attitude in upcoming episodes.
Hey, I think your attitude's really great. You're doing Thanks, friend. Of the things that you're doing, Leah. You're really, really amazing, seriously. And you have so much passion and so much grace and love and what's the word? Like givingness? What's the word? It's not graciousness. No, maybe it is. Where you want – you just are such a good person and you want to
– Generosity?
Generosity, yeah. Like you want to help people so much and – it's just really sweet. And I know that, like, you know, one day you will have more time for it so that you can get your projects off the ground and things. And it's just tricky in this season of little kids.
And I am also trying to soak up all the baby time, you know, it's a tough place to be. So we'll get there, but yes, it'll be hopefully a fun season. And thank you for listening.
Okay. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Before you go, there's one last thing. Did you know that we have a swag store now? The Healthy as a Mother store, where we sell amazing merchandise that is fun to wear. We have shirts and hats and sweatshirts. We have drinkware, bags, journals, all of the things that are healthy as a mother or related to motherhood in general. We would love if you could support our podcast by checking out our store. We love doing what we do, and it's really helpful to get the support and also to spread the word and share our amazing brand with the world. And you get some really cool, awesome stuff. One of my favorites is the crop sweatshirt and one of our glasses that we sell that says Healthy as a Mother. I just think it's so great. So head to www.healthyasamother.com/store to check out what we have. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store. And we are absolutely open to feedback. If there's something you would like to see that is not at the store, we can make a lot of different things there. So head over there, check it out, and we would love to see you sporting some Healthy as a Mother gear. And if you take a picture of yourself on Instagram, definitely tag Dr. Morgan and I, and we will be sure to share. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store to check out our merchandise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.